for drug free sport.
Good morning, my name is Thando Mandla. I'm a program administrator. Modulo Situlu Dubela, Na Kejwa Houting, Kena Hatua Station Vitsulaka, Deputy Minister of Sport and Recreation, and Kedeka was a Chuanan was Soto Yana, Kopana, Nakoki Godi, Leki, Godi, the Mud Northwest, but to the Chuanan and Aqua, this is one Palaimodi Kingdom of Kosu Nataliano. But it's good to be here. Thank you so much for having us. And my DG is fluish. He's not very well, the young man. He's, as you can see, he's feverish this morning. But DG Alec Muhimi, and he will introduce himself and the delegation from Sport and Education Chair.
Good Chair, this is Dr. Bernardus van der Spey. Dr. van der Spey is Chief Director responsible for strategic support and planning, and as well as monitoring and evaluation in our department. And we are accompanied also by the Parliamentary Liaison Officer of the of Minister Ngwesi and the Deputy Minister, Mr. Mpho Mashaba, as well as Mr. Darcy de Kock, who is the personal assistant of the Deputy Minister.
At least we know one another now. Just for the record, I've got apologies from the office of the minister, as well as apologies for Honorable Dlamini and Honorable Mpambo Spokane. Just for the record, those are the apologies that I have. And the one that has just come in is that the deputy minister will be leaving shortly. About 12. Okay, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Let us get started with the presentation, DG. It would have been ideal for us to start with the ESDM. Oh, yes, your political input. But let me just finish this. It would have been better if we started with the smaller agency, the Institute for Drug Free Sport. But because some of the members might want to rush back to look into their safety, we shall have to start with the department and look at the APP so that if they wish to rush off in preparation for the sitting, we can then be able to remain with the institute. Otherwise, I would have personally loved to start with the institute. Nonetheless, let us give this opportunity to the DM to make some political input on behalf of the department. Thank you.
Honorable Chairperson and members of the committee, the DG and the officials present, and those of the WADA. Chair, thank you so much for recognizing the apology of our Minister, Comrade Tudat Ngwesi, who is, as you all know, in the Cabinet Committee meeting. And he's representing us there, and he asked me to convey his best wishes. Yeah, he will come by and introduce himself and introduce him gladly in time to come. Thank you so much for the opportunity to, on behalf of our Ministry of Sport and Recreation, to present this committee to the committee the 2017-18 Annual Performance Plan of the Department of Sport and Recreation. Now, we know that the DG, I've asked him to make a more detailed presentation, allow us to sketch a broad context and provide a strategic overview of where our department is heading. From a national perspective, the 2017-18 APP Annual Performance Plan of our department is guided by the National Development Plan that recognizes the National Development Plan that sport plays an important role in promoting wellness and social cohesion. It's further guided by the National Sport and Recreation Plan that was approved by Cabinet in 2012. The National Sport and Recreation Plan details three core pillars of implementation, namely that of an active nation, secondly a winning nation, and thirdly an enabling environment. The 2015-20 strategic plan of our department was reviewed with the purpose to gauge if the plan still remains relevant to the environment in which our department delivers its mandate. It was acknowledged that no significant policy shifts are envisaged during the 2017-18 financial year and that there are no substantial changes in the service delivery environment that will impact on operations. Minor technical improvements were made to selected strategic goals and strategic objectives, and these are reflected in the 2017-18 annual performance plan of our department. When considering the integration of the National Development Plan into government's plans, the planning processes carried out by the department have a vital role to play in bringing the vision and proposals contained in the National Development Plan to fruition. Following a thorough examination of the National Development Plan, the proposals that have direct relevance to sport and recreation have been incorporated into the existing strategies and activities for our department. In achieving the objectives and indicators of the 2017-18 Annual Performance Plan, our department will also make progress in implementing the National Sport and Recreation Plan, as well as contributing to priority areas as captured in Outcome 14 of Government's Program of Action. Within the international framework, the 2017-18 Annual Performance Plan of our department is informed by policy documents from the United Nations relevant to the sport and recreation sector. Succeeding the Millennium Development Goals, the post-2015 Sustainable Development Goals were adopted by the United Nations General Assembly in 2015. Important for our department is to note the specific reference to the role of sport for social progress in the declaration of the 2030 Agenda for Sustainable Development. Allow me to quote, Chairperson, honourable members, from the declaration. It says, sport is also an important enabler of sustainable development. We recognise the growing contribution of sport to the realisation of development and peace in its promotion of tolerance and respect and the contributions it makes to the empowerment of women and of young people, individuals and communities, as well as to health, education and social inclusion objectives. We quote that, Chairperson, because we would like to underscore that. That's what we are aligned to. Through the indicators and targets identified by the department in the 2017-18 Annual Performance Plan, the department will not only contribute to the achievement of the 2030 Sustainable Development Goals, but will also capitalize on the innumerable social, economic and health benefits derived from participating in a diverse range of sport and recreation activities. Furthermore, Sport and Recreation South Africa will continue to transform the delivery of sport and recreation by ensuring equitable access, development and excellence at all levels of participation, thereby, Chair, improving social cohesion, nation building and the quality of life of all South Africans. Chairperson, honourable members, our department's planning processes are driven by our vision, and our vision is that of an active and a winning nation. Now, there are two parts to this vision. The first part is an active nation, which means mass participation and facilitating the expansion of access to sport and recreation facilities. This is not only a fundamental human right recognized by the United Nations, it's also a health issue. All the evidence indicates that an active nation is also a healthy nation, both physically and mentally. Secondly, the second part of that vision is that of a winning nation, which means that we need to put in place systems and structures to identify and nurture sporting talent. And we have to support and prepare these athletes to represent the country at the highest international level and also make us proud as South Africans. The two parts of the vision are inextricably linked. Let me quote from the White Paper for Sport and Recreation, and I quote, "No country can expect to achieve and sustain at the elite level without a strong participation base in the community." Now, Chair, if we quote that, we are saying, in other words, we have to widen the pool of talent from which national teams in our country are selected. That is, if we are to perform as a country at the highest levels of international sport. That's precisely why, as a Department of Sport and Recreation, we have said that school sport in South Africa is the bedrock for all sport development in our country. Chair, it's important. It's not just a matter of moral right and equity that every learner has access to physical education and sport. It is also critical to the performance of national sporting codes at the highest level. Let me repeat that, Chair. I say it's not just a matter of the moral right thing to do to ensure that equity for every learner has access to physical education and sport at school. It's critical for the performance of our national sporting codes at the highest level and eventually transformation. Based on the research, the Eminent Persons Group, which annually audits the state of transformation in sport in our country, correctly describes school sport as the Achilles heel of the whole sports system, including the high-performance sporting codes. As a sport and recreation South Africa, we have to work very closely with the Department of Basic Education to expand our school sport program, especially at the individual schools and district levels, so that these activities feed into provincial and national competitions at school. A priority for us is to refresh the memorandum of agreement with basic education, which we know already exists between the two departments. We also have to work with the national federations in this regard, in the 16 sporting codes that we've identified, with a view to align our parallel initiatives so that together we build a common skills pipeline, but one which draws from a much broader pool of potential talent across the whole schooling system. Chairperson, honorable members, if we are to succeed in building school sport, we have to work together. We have to work together, firstly, to optimize the use of resources by all the relevant government departments at all levels. Secondly, we have to draw on the expertise and organizational skills of the South African Sports Confederation Olympic Committee and that of the national federations. Thirdly, we have to bring to bear the knowledge and physical education training capacity that resides within higher education and training institutions. And fourthly, we must also engage with teachers, with parents, with communities, and the widening sporting family and fraternity. But to succeed, we first have to collectively make the case for sport. We have to explain why physical education and sport in schools is critical as part of holistic education and a healthy and purposeful life, and is also key to national success in the high-performance sports. Now, this is the basis of our vision for an active and winning nation of which we speak. In conclusion, Honourable Chairperson, Members, Sport and Recreation South Africa presents its 2017-18 Annual Performance Plan against the backdrop of an exciting year after our department once again received an unqualified audit assessment from the Auditor General. Allow me to, on behalf of the Ministry, to really express my gratitude to the staff and the Director General and the leadership of Sport and Recreation South Africa that made this possible for us to receive a further feather in our cap. I really think we must collectively take pride in this. Chairperson, with your permission, I will now request the Director General to provide more details regarding the activities of the different programs of the department that we plan for the 2017-18 Financial Year. I trust I have your permission to ask the DG to continue. Thank you.
Thank you, Minister. We'll engage in your input as we engage with the entire presentation. Thank you very much. Over to you, DG.
Thank you, Chair.
Maybe just to give guidance, the presentation probably will take 30 minutes.
Less.
Let us put it like this. It will not be more than 30 minutes. Let's be safe on this. And then we are going to allocate 30 minutes or less for members to engage. That takes us to 11:30. Then 11:30, we listen to the Institute for Drug Free Sport. And then it takes us to 12 or less than that. And then we have to engage. And then we must conclude the meeting by 12:30. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. The presentation, as is, covers our annual performance plan. And we are in the cycle of a five-year strategic plan of the department. Now, there are about 11 injunctions that come out of the National Development Plan that cites sport and recreation, and which we have given effect after we amended the white paper for sport and recreation as the official policy of the department. and we then packaged the work that we should do within the 5-year period of the medium-term strategic framework, and ultimately gave meaning to it in terms of an implementation plan being the National Sports and Recreation Plan. This plan itself is for a 20-year period, but we have cut it into four parts so that it's manageable over 5-year period and cycles. Those are some of the injunctions that come from the NDP. And as you can see, this, all of them are our guiding processes. There are some we have made tremendous progress on them, but some where we are lagging behind, largely due to the issue of adequate integration with other departments as well as the resources, availability of resources for us to achieve this. That is one of our key main targets in the strategic framework 2014-2019, and we are still tracking social cohesion as our key outcome, which our minister has signed an outcome-based agreement with the president. If you look at the key areas of pillars of our work in as far as this is concerned, this comes directly from the NDP, the issue of promoting social cohesion across society through increased interaction across all races and all class divides, and also the promotion and participation of sport and recreation across the entire length and breadth of our country, as well as advocating for transformation in sport and recreation and the development of talented athletes by providing them with opportunities for them to excel, and also looking and tracking at our performance in international major tournaments and our ability to win and get medals there. Again, those are some of the targets in the strategic plan or strategic framework for 5 years. As you can see, one of the key things we are still looking at is school sport, but also the importance of development of talented athletes. If I move to the white paper in brief, it gives us a framework within which we advocate our policy and approach as well as the guiding principles. But importantly, when we look at the National Sport and Recreation Plan, we look at the five pillars of that plan. First and foremost is the issue of utilization of sport as a tool for either peace and development, or sport as a tool for social change, sports as a tool for social cohesion and unification of our people. But our biggest and broadest pillar remains that of building an active nation. This speaks to community sport in the main and affording communities an opportunity to participate in sport, as well as a winning nation which provides for talented athletes and facilitation for them to win medals for us. We believe we can only achieve that if we create an enabling environment and address the key salient features and variables such as facilities, such as the provision of academies, such as having coaches and technical officials to be able to address that. Then there are also transversal issues that cut across the entire sports sector, and if it is to succeed, we look at things like sponsorships, broadcasting, and all of that in terms of this plan. Now, our strategic plan 2015 to 2020 have been updated now, and we have seen that there is no necessarily major strategic shifts. We are still hinged clearly on what we do in terms of our plan, being a 20-year plan. 2018 will see us reviewing the plan for the first time comprehensively, to see how far we have gone. But importantly, we have made our APP and we have submitted it for pre-audit to the Auditor General, and DPME as well as the Treasury have also made their own input, and the AG has given it a thumbs up to say that it is indeed aligned and it conforms to the principles outlined in their SMART process. Now, the legal framework has not changed. It still guides us the way it is. We're looking at a whole host of legislation that we'll be bringing through to the National Assembly based on the framework of the Leader of Government Business. and amongst which we are speaking about the amendment to the Act of the South African Institute for Drug Free Sport. We are amending the South African National Sport and Recreation Act, and we are also looking at introducing new laws, including the Fitness Industry Regulatory Act, that will see the fitness industry be regulated for the first time. If we look at the strategic influences, they have not changed much. The global landscape of sport remains fairly the same. And this year is an important year because a forum of all global ministers of sport will be meeting in Kazan, Russia this year. And we are looking at using that as a platform on which we seek to influence as South Africa the global architecture of sport in the world. And that would, should it be accepted, change this framework significantly. Our vision remains the same, our mission remains the same. And that just proves that we have really complied with the provisions of the law in as far as the submission of the APP to Parliament. And equally, our key main indicators in terms of the ENE, the estimate of national expenditure for which the Appropriations Committee has allocated us resources for. Those are the main key indicators, and clearly one of our biggest indicators remains the number of people participating in sport and recreation promotion campaigns per year. And you will also see that, importantly, we are now, for the first time, have provided for municipalities the support with technical as well as management support for provision of facilities, and we are seeking to support 30 municipalities a year. These are municipalities that are incapable on their own to be able to run out sport facilities, either because they do not have engineers or do not have that. We are providing them with support for the first time to be able to meet the targets and to be able to roll out their sport facilities. Chair, if I move again, you see in terms of the sector indicators, these are the indicators that affect us as well as provinces. So this is the shared indicators which we and the provinces are supposed to work together. We transfer money to them, and they ought to implement those specific indicators and then report back to us. And we need to prove that indeed athletes have been supported and that platforms for participation have been created for athletes. In terms of our annual performance plan, I'll run through the major programs in Active Nation. They are our key major targets. We still are looking at meeting those targets through those specific programs. The targets are what you see written 2.1, 2.2, up until 2.8 there. And on the other column, we are showing how we are going to go about achieving those APP targets, through what programs and which program contributes what amounts of participants to be able to achieve. If you look at the core outputs for 2017, we're looking at the single governance framework for recreation. This work is far advanced, and very soon the minister will release the report of the Ministerial Committee on Recreation, and would also outline what we will do about that and the creation of a single governance framework. Among some of the most exciting programs which we have done with provinces quite well is the new program we launched last year, the Rural Sport Development Program. We had been criticized of having a huge presence in townships as well as in urban areas, but very little in rural areas. And we then partnered with the House of Traditional Leaders. We have two royal households per province now, and we'll be going to the finals of this championship of rural communities in July. And we would then, from August this year, be expanding this to 5 royal households per province. And all provinces are participating. It's only the Northwest that is lagging behind in terms of this process. But all other provinces, many of them have completed their provincial eliminations and are now ready for the national championship. Should Northwest not be able to finish by the 15th of June, they will be left out of the national tournament. Again, if we look at some of our key programs there, the Big Walk, we are looking at it growing significantly this year. And actually this year we'll run for the first time a major national campaign on the annual National Recreation Day. We'll continuously provide equipment and support for schools, particularly rural schools, to be able to play sport and to also support rural-based tournaments. In as far as the Indigenous Games Festival, we are growing it for the first time. The new minister and the DM have directed that the schools be added to the Indigenous Games Festival, and that school-based teams also participate in the festival, and not just community-based clubs. So this will see a huge jump from about 3,500 participants at the national level to where we're anticipating a double of that, about 7,000 participants this year. If we look at the mass participation and sport development grant, that's how we have allocated to provinces, and as you can see, school sport still takes the lion's share of that grant. We're expecting provinces to spend 38% of all the money we give them on school sport, and also to support community-based clubs as well as recreational activities. We're providing them with 35% of that budget to be spent on that. We have also recognized that for smaller provinces like the Northern Cape, Northwest, Limpopo, and the Free State, they tend to struggle with the capacity to be able to roll out everywhere. So we had increased the percentage of management from 6% to 9% for them to be able to employ more people and to be able to do work in that regard. Chair, I would then move to we are running a pilot program on club development with a new club toolkit as well as a new basis as such with Limpopo and KwaZulu-Natal. In Limpopo, the pilot is being run in Mopani district as a rural node. There, netball, football, as well as athletics, clubs are being supported in those three codes to see. It's a longitudinal pilot process, so don't expect quick returns. It's a 15-year pilot, so think about it long-term in that regard. And in KwaZulu-Natal, it's based at Echequini as an urban node. And again, the same codes. At Sasrecon this year, we'll be for the first time be looking at the first report. This is now the third year of the pilot running, and we'll be looking at how many clubs have been supported, are they growing, and whether the new franchise model is really working. If we go to Winning Nation quickly, those are the targets. I will not waste time there, but the most important targets for us now is 3.3, which speaks to the number of athletes being supported through the scientific support program. On OPEX, which is the Operation Excellence Program for our elite athletes, people like Chadlek Law, people like Akani Simbini, Sune Feldrun, and so on, all of those are on OPEX. And OPEX now carries only about 26 athletes. But there are many other athletes who are just, they don't make the requirements of OPEX. And OPEX wants you when you are already ready. But what program do we have to help people to meet the OPEX requirements? And that bridge was not there to transcend from amateur into professional, and most athletes have had to fend for themselves to cross that bridge. Now with this program, we're supporting about 80 athletes a year to help them transcend that bridge and to make the OPEX requirement. If you look at some of the core outputs there, we are still concerned about the work we're doing on the bill that seeks to ban alcohol advertising. We know the devastating effect that would have on sport if the safeguards are not put in place. So we would only seek to lobby this committee to support us in this regard, that we are not opposed to the ban, but we are saying that when that ban comes, the funds that we use to get from alcohol industry must be put aside. We have calculated this to be around 4.8 billion a year, which will be lost if the ban just happens the way previously the tobacco ban happened. And then we suffered a great deal. One of the most exciting programs as well in this area is the issue of the Ndrumlangeni Green Jacket program, in which we honor past heroes that were never celebrated because of apartheid policies. And this year is the year of Sasrecon being the year following the Olympics. We will be having the South African Sport and Recreation Conference. It's being hosted by the Potchefstroom campus of the Northwest University this year. And we would be, it's quite an exciting conference which we are going through. Another major issue here is the progress we have made in the building of the National Training Center, and we will be, by February next year, we'll have a contractor on site to start the building of this Olympic Preparatory Center. If I move to sports support, Chair, those are the targets. Again, in sports support, the targets have not changed quite a lot, but as you can see, what we have increased is 4.5, is the issue of the number of federations entering into transformation barometer agreements with the minister. And that, for this financial year we are in now, 17-18, we are targeting to sign with 15 by the end of March next year. And our work around this will continue, and we will also roll out about 12 multi-purpose sports funds in the current financial year. And as far as the issues of transformation are concerned, in-depth work is being done on this, and we are also reviewing the transformation charter this year in preparation of the overall review of the sports plan in 2018. If you look at the core outputs, there is the same things. What is exciting is that the Federation of the Year this year, as declared by the minister, is volleyball, and we are already envisaging the launch of the Volleyball Premier League later this year, and we are quite excited about the prospects of returning volleyball to its glory days. Boxing South Africa, we have been helping them with a turnaround. They are now somewhat healthy financially, and their audit outcomes are improving, and their regulatory environment is also improving significantly. Another key thing is with SCORE, the Sport Coaches Outreach Program, that we are now training about 5,000 coaches over a period of 3 years, and we have provided them with adequate funding to be able to achieve that. Let me move to sport infrastructure support. This used to be the smallest program of our department. It is now growing significantly. The Treasury has agreed with us, and they have allocated some amount of $10 million for us to appoint new capacity. We are hiring quantity surveyors, engineers, we are hiring architects and all of that to support small municipalities to be able to do work. Already, we have already succeeded in supporting a whole host of municipalities, including Rato in the Northwest, and we are doing a whole lot of work to ensure that these municipalities are able to roll out the facilities. The other exciting thing is that we are focused on counting in 5.1 to do a full audit. We have finished the facilities count last year. This time around, we are doing in-depth audits. As you could recall, both KwaZulu-Natal and Western Cape had already completed their audits, and we are now on the facilities audit for Gauteng. If I move to the core outputs in this area, this now is new areas for us and quite exciting. We are looking at the NASREC precinct. NASREC, honorable member, stands for the National Sport Recreation and Event Center. I think people have come to believe that NASREC was the name of the suburb and that the stadium was named after the suburb. It's not true. It's actually vice versa, but everybody had wanted us to forget that NASREC is a sport precinct for the country and a national sport precinct. We have reclaimed it from Public Works. We are working on the plans for NASREC and its expansion in this regard. But most importantly as well, we are seeking to upgrade the Moses Mabhida precinct to bring it to world standards to be ready for our future ambitions for bidding for Olympics. And we have finished the rehabilitation now of the Soweto Golf Course, and we will be starting with the Mawapane one soon. And we are still rolling out community outdoor gyms, and we have started a program with the Department of Environmental Affairs of greening open spaces. We started in the Eastern Cape at 140 of the Nelson Mandela Bay. We did a mega park there. It's about a 20-hectare park. It's quite big. It has almost everything you would expect in a public open space of a metro. So this program will roll it out elsewhere. Previously, we had actually piloted it in a small town called Kennard in the Northern Cape. That concludes my story in 20 minutes, Chair.
Unless, oh no, thank you very much, DG. This was quite quick. Unless it's missing only in my pack, I can into your financial,
okay,
your budget.
I can deal with that right now, Chair. Chair, our budget has not increased significantly. In real terms, our budget has slightly declined. Okay, they will open up the...
No, we didn't get it as printed material. It's not part of our PEC.
Okay.
Can you please just look at the screen and note whatever we wish to note?
We had sent it though, I should say.
Was it sent?
Yes, it was sent.
Okay, no. It was an omission maybe on the side of our office.
All right.
Okay.
Chair, our budget has, is now standing really at 1.06 billion. It's the first time ever since the World Cup that it crosses the billion mark. I think Chair knows that previously it was at about 880 and it grew to about 980 and it stopped there. And so with the fees must fall, we were cut back by first 18 million and then later 20 million. So now that's quite devastating for us, for a small department as ours. But that money, how it comes across in administration, we are looking at a budget of about 136.9 million. And in Active Nation, we are looking at a budget of 689 million. So as you can see, Active Nation takes more than 50% of our budget, the mass participation program. And largely in there is transfers, it's money that goes to provinces. Of that, about 588 million goes to provinces as a conditional grant, which we share along the nine provinces. The Winning Nation program takes about 76.9 million, which is now the support for academies and talented athletes. There are few, I think, don't be misguided by the budget. They are quite few, but they are well taken care of in this regard. And as far as sports support is concerned, we're spending about 150 million. And largely of that money goes to the sport federations as a transfer. And in the sport infrastructure program, as you can see, it has gone now. It used to be around 2 million rands. With the additional money received from the treasury, the 10 million, it has now grown to about 13. Of that, 10 million is for personnel, and about 3 million is for what we call demonstration programs. The argument of the Treasury is that the money for building sport facilities should not sit with national government. We disagree with that approach, but they argue that the money should be in the MIG and also for metros in the urban settlement development grant. But the challenge with that arrangement is that we know municipalities, particularly the small ones, do not spend that money on sport facilities. And that's a problem. But there is a ring fence, 300 million rands for MIG, that is sitting with COCTA. So you won't see it here, but we and COCTA and Treasury administer it to support the smaller municipalities that need facilities the most. So those are our key five programs. I have done it on a program basis, and we have not necessarily done it through the economic classifications, but that is a the summary of the budget as it is. Okay, we have published the DM, as just indicated that I should outline this for, particularly for provinces. You have seen in the slide previously how we ring fence money for provinces once the grant has been declared. But just to indicate to you this, from 2012 we agreed with the Treasury. Previously we used to simply just follow the equitable share formula. But if we did that, really sport will be played in KwaZulu-Natal, Western Cape, Eastern Cape, and Gauteng, and that will be it. So what we decided to do was that we gave every province a baseline of 20 million, and we said, from the 588 million available, we take out 20 million for each province and set it aside. And on on the money that remains, we then apply the equitable share formula based on how big your province is, your population size, your levels of development, your contribution to national GDP, and those variables that the Treasury put forth, and we allocated that. After that, we also did what we call a solidarity principle, where the two biggest provinces in terms of budget, KwaZulu-Natal and Gauteng, then shave off 1% of their budget, and we allocate that budget to the smallest province, the Northern Cape. Doing that has, for the first time, allowed Northern Cape to be able to send teams to all national tournaments and to be able to participate in all tournaments and to also be able to reach out to much more schools than they could before. And with that, again, we have also set new principles for this grant, and we have ring-fenced it across all those economic classifications to ensure uniformity of purpose by all provinces and to make sure that we are all spending money on the same things and spending according to a guaranteed framework. So school sports still gets the lion's share of what we do, but for the first time, we have now ring-fenced money for academies as well for all provinces. Only Free State has the most successful academy system and a greater reach to around. However, in provinces like Gauteng and KwaZulu-Natal, with all the money they have decided to outsource academy system to private providers. We have now made it compulsory for them to reverse that trend and to build state capacity to be able to respond to athletes, because we have seen with the Free State model that it is actually doable and it's quite cheaper to do it that way. Mm-hmm. Currently, we pay about four times for an athlete at a university high performance center than we do at our national training center at in the Free State. So with that, Chair, I think that brings the summary of our budget on all key issues, including we have afforded provinces 7% as a transversal allocation. Some provinces like KwaZulu-Natal have specific provincial interests in terms of programs. They do things like traditional horse riding and things like that, which are not part of the national programs that we have. And even in the Eastern Cape, their support for boxing exceeds by far what all other provinces are doing. So we allow MECs to make a determination of how best to use the 7% of the grant.
Thank you, Chair. I would like to thank the Minister, Deputy Minister and the Department for the presentations. Firstly, what I found here is that ministers normally snub this, the NCOP committees in the APP. We had to abandon some meetings and send the department back. I would also, in this context, compliment the Minister, Deputy Minister, for being well prepared and insight into what's going on, and I think it's really appreciated from this side if we compare this with what we get from other departments. Then just two things. I missed the financial presentation, and then specifically then from a provincial perspective, I also missed the provincial divisions, what's going to what province linked to in the APP. I don't know whether that was, I don't find it in the APP. I don't know whether that can perhaps be supplied, please. Then, two things, it was referred to as the Achilles heel, that is youth participation, school participation. And it was also stated in the connection, in the context of infrastructure, that the allocation should be in mid, but that it the money find another priority. Now, I have the feeling, and that's, I think my committee members will support us, when we go out into the rural areas, even into the urban towns, smaller towns, the lack of even basic sports facilities at school level. Now, and one can understand that basic education has got other priorities. They get measured and hammered every year in December and January with the results. That's their priority, output, academic output. I don't know what's the department can do about it, because this actually lies, and the budget lies in another department. But the excluding the Model C schools, private schools, ex-Model C schools where there's some is left, basically, overwhelmingly, there's a total lack of infrastructure at school level, and one cannot actually come to the target to get the broad base at school level. And unfortunately, also then later, because the basis is laid at school level, you find the more affluent society getting the benefit of this, and also then migrating into representative sport. And the rest, whether or not there's a lot of talent, is simply not joining sport in numbers. There's also an educator and a coach problem. We know that in some schools it's part of the appointment to do extra hours at schools, while other schools it's a 5-to-1 job, 5-to-2 job, and that's it, and nothing thereafter. So I don't know. There must be a plan to get out of this quagmire. And I don't see the plan, and I know it's not here. The solution does not entirely lie with sports and education. The other thing, I looked at mass participation. For many years, coming from the Northwest Province, I had the problem that mass participation was many times one event per year, a lot of money go in there, and t-shirts are created. Are printed, and massive budget is expended, and you have one 5K or 10K walk run, and that was the mass participation for the year. That's it. I see the mass participation figure here, if I read it correctly, is guarded as 1 million South Africans. Is that right? Well, if that is the figure that the department's working on, I think it's much too conservative. If one look at park run participation, which is at this stage about 500,000 South Africans registered with parkrun, and about 300,000 regularly participating in that. So, and that is sustainable with very little financial input. I would like also just to get an insight into the department's measurable targets and way the department is thinking how to create this mass participation, sustainable mass participation throughout the country. Thank you, Chair.
Honourable Cole.
Thanks, Honourable Chairperson, Deputy Minister, DG, colleagues. Well, the committee knows by now that this is my most favorable DG. Not because we grew up together in our different leagues. Of course, he has left politics, he is now the administrator. So he's not a member of any party now. I still remain in my party. So I have outlived him. In politics. But you know, like I've always been saying, this is the DG who comes alone to the committee, makes a presentation, doesn't delegate, responds to questions of all the departments and the sections in the department. Will not delegate, he'll just do it alone. So, which is a big cost saving to government, and this is what we want, this is hands-on. So I appreciate that, DG. No, I did not call for that one. DG, you talk about promoting social cohesion across society. Is it happening? Because I have my doubts there as to whether the department is really getting dividends from the money that is invested there. Because when you look at our sports codes, rather than moving forward, we are like going backwards. So I just wanted to find out there what will be the solution, because I don't think money that is getting invested there is giving us the results that is required. Social cohesion, that was my first one. The second one, I've always been complaining. You said nothing about it today. Every meeting I've complained about school sports and the school sports officers. You said nothing about it today. I don't know, maybe it's because there is something happening. Because in KwaZulu-Natal, don't know if it is happening in the other provinces. In KwaZulu-Natal, because I'm hands-on, you know, with sports, I know everything that's happening. The KwaZulu-Natal has now advertised for school sports clusters. They will not be in each and every school, but they will cluster the schools. So they are in the process of appointing them. I just want to thank the department for the smaller Nyana bit that is happening. I know I've always been asking for the big chunk, but at least it's going to get us a start to a particular direction, because my take was that for as long as you don't have all school sports, this school sport thing was not going to take off the ground. At least now something is going to start happening. The other one, Chair. The events and activities that the department talks about, you know, Chair, we don't know. We get these reports from the department. We don't know because the department doesn't invite us. Can we at least get a schedule, Chair, of all these activities and events for the whole year, so that at least we know something is happening in this month at a particular place, particular province, and maybe the chair or those few members can be there, or the members where the event is taking place in their province, at least they can be there. Because we just get these reports, we don't know, really. We don't know. We hear about them, we don't know that they have happened, because we just get these reports. Can we get a schedule of these activities? And maybe the courtesy sometimes of an invitation from the department for members in that province to be able to attend. And my next one is the club development. Maybe DJ, between you and me, will talk about this one outside the meeting. You said that you scared me, because there is another club development, you know about it. Was it a once-off? So I just wanted to find out why only Etewin, because I know that we have started something with you. So thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Thank you for the presentation. Firstly, I would just like to congratulate the South African rugby for being able to make the bid for the World Cup rugby on 2023. I hope in November we'll get positive results on that. We'll be able to host it. That would be very good for the country. My understanding with social cohesion, especially the outcome and the contribution thereof, is that it should also contribute to the economic prosperity of South Africa. Now, I just want to know that as the department, what is your plan to contribute to the economic prosperity of especially of young people, especially in townships? What is it that you're planning in future to do to be able to contribute into the economic prosperity of our young people? And I believe that also my second question is that I think that parents are also stakeholders in this social cohesion. What how are you facilitating the participation of parents in making sure that they take part in the activities of in the sporting activities of their children in schools? How do you communicate with them? What is the inclusion plan that you have that they are able, especially in townships? Because I know it is very difficult to have parents taking part in the activities of their children, but how are you able to encourage that to happen so that we are able to build this community of social cohesion? My other question is there any program that the department, a sports program that you're planning for pensioners clubs? Do you have any programs or interaction that you have with maybe social services, working together with them, making sure that you include pensioners as well? Because in townships, there are pensioners clubs, and they are involved in some kind of sporting activities. What is your plan in making sure that you take part in this as well to help with especially their health? Because I believe that will increase their lifespan. My last question is in regards to the school sports coordinators. What I know in townships especially is that we have teachers, he's just interested, he likes sports. So he takes time to teach kids sports, which most of the time is just soccer and netball, not much that is happening in the township schools. But I see now that you have a plan for school sports coordinators, and there's a plan to remunerate these school sports coordinators. What is the criteria that the department is going to use to recruit and select these coordinators? Are you just going to pick the teachers who are in the school and give them some sort of training, or will you be able to get new people who are there, qualified as sports, whatever you call them, to come into school and be there just mainly for sporting activities in our township schools? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Mabul.
Thank you, Chairperson. This department has got a very committed Deputy Minister and DG. It's a fact. We cannot run away from that. I'm joining Honourable Kaula in congratulating the department. Chairperson, I didn't want to say anything. out of order,
let us focus on the ATP.
Out of order, Chairperson, I didn't want to say anything. I'm a little bit confused. Not confused by the presentation, but confused about by what is happening in my province, because I'm no longer concentrating about the issues of Limpopo province. It might be because of change of leadership, I don't know. Because up to where I am, we have a new MEC. I'm still looking at that, at a performance, because prior we had a rollovers, which didn't sit well with me. I tried to engage some to say, what kind of, is it, maybe sport is complex. We don't understand. I don't know, maybe sport is complex. That's why they didn't understand it. But I want to agree with Honorable Samka to say, you see, when we prioritize, it's according to us, maybe. You know better than us, I don't know. But you can't prioritize health, for example, and education, and undermine sport. You can't do that. They go together, these things. So it means when you talk about education, you talk about social development, you talk about health, you mustn't leave sports behind. It's part of them. The bulk of the money must be given to those. As she is saying, maybe it will be good for us to see to our provinces, understand what their problems are. Because according to me, if budget will decline, or the budget will always be less because of the rollovers incurred by international, because of the underperformance by our provinces. Chairperson, with these few years, I'm saying, let me join Honorable Samka, that let's lobby our provinces and each other to come and sit together so that we unpack the whole thing of sports, because you're always complaining about an inactive nation. How do we have this active nation whereas we don't have funds to see to that we achieve that goal? Thank you.
Chairperson, thanks very much, Chairperson. I was not raising the hand. Anyhow, I don't have anything to say. I just want to say, DG, well done. Really, in the Free State, I was informed by the MEC all the time. We are moving. Whatever you are saying, I know is the thing that is happening in the Free State. Well done.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. There are critical issues that the members are raising. One is that of the department have always spoken about this. And I think, Deputy Minister, it's high time that somebody listened to us as Parliament. The separation of powers, you're in the executive or in Parliament. We pass the budget. You present the budget, we pass it. We have always said this in debates and every platform that we have been able to access. to lobby for more funds to be given to the Department of Sports and Recreation. And nothing is happening. Probably because when we sit like this and vent our concerns, Treasury is not here. Maybe it's something that we need to look into as to how do we access, as systems of parliament, not executive, as parliamentary systems, to ensure that when we articulate and to express these concerns, Treasury is here in the meeting to hear and take note of what the committees are saying, because we're speaking alone. The other issue that is being raised by Honorable Kaula is the schedule of your activities. I agree with him. We need to get the schedule of your activities, DG, not only the schedule, the invitations as well, to those members to save on costs where an activity is taking place, if they're in close proximity. We would like to see that, so that to support, but also to conduct oversight at the same time, to back up the theory that you are getting by way of your report. Yes, I want to agree that you have been very supportive of our committee. We are quite serious about the support to the committee. DG has always been with us, all on his own, in your company, DM, in most instances. And we appreciate that, because we want to hear the political input. We want to hear the direction from you as the political leader of the department. And some of the issues that we raise can only be addressed if they are captured by the political leadership of the department. Now let us come to the issues that I wanted to raise regarding the stress plan issue. Under your program 2, or let us start with program 1, where you say you're going to train 60 employees. I didn't get clarity as to on what. And when we are going to conduct a client satisfaction survey, who is going to be your sample? Are you going to take a sample from each of the provinces or what? And another critical issue, DM, I think this one can be best addressed by you. We've got a problem in provinces where there is no proper alignment of the Department of Sports and Recreation. You get what I mean? Nationally, we've got a Department of Sports and Recreation standalone. In other provinces, it is lumped with arts and culture. In other provinces, it is lumped with education. You know, the alignment is not uniform. I know it's the prerogative of the provinces to see how they align, but maybe you could advise and say, with proper alignment, maybe the flow of information and working together and the budget issues could be much more smoother. The issue of the MIG, the reason why I say that Treasury should be here, you cannot take a lump sum of money, MIG funding, to municipalities and say, here is a lump sum of money, but 15% of that is for sport. Why don't you separate it from the beginning? You take MIG, you give the municipalities, you take the 15% as a conditional grant for sport, and then you raise it to municipalities. Why does it have to be done by municipalities? Because they've demonstrated that they're not going to do that. So that is why we want Treasury to be here and hear our suggestions in this regard. If that can be done, DM, there can be major change in terms of sports infrastructure in the different areas, particularly the rural areas that are suffering. When you say, for instance, DG, 5,000 participants in the national school sports, where are they, who are they, how are you going to do the selection, which provinces are going to be affected? The other issue that I wanted to raise is this, that, DG, your presentation was not giving us a clear perspective of what you're going to do at the level of provinces. We heard it when you spoke about it, but it's not on paper. So it's not going to be easy for us to make follow-ups. This is going to happen in this province. This is going to be happening in that province, and so on and so on. Next time of our engagement, we'd really implore that you've got that specific information, because our focus is on the provinces more than it is in the national. And then I'm not going to raise all of these issues. Thank you. We've got athletes that have actually achieved world standards because they've gone through this scientific program. I don't know what to call it, teacher, what to call it. But you subject them to that program, intense scientific program, insofar as the training is concerned. Siyabonga kakhulu uAkhane Simbino Gauteng. He has been groomed through the department. That is an achievement. He's now at a world standard. That is no small matter. But we don't talk about it in the media, so that we know that the Department of Sports and Recreation, small as it is, or other department as it is trying their level best. Oluvuya Manyonga, Western Cape, those are the people that you should speak about in the media so that people know that you are really taking care of young ones. And we are helping them to realize their full potential. I don't know. You could have sorted out the issues between yourselves, DG, with the DG for education. You remember, he was arguing that his core mandate is education. Sports is peripheral. But when students are dying, when students are getting into drugs, teachers cannot produce good marks. They cannot produce good results. But he was adamant in saying, my core mandate is education. They cannot get good results, Kapisa. If the students are drunk, they're subjected to drugs and alcohol because they're not actively engaged in constructive sport and physical education, it is a problem for the country. But the DG was very argument. It was very highly philosophical and argumentative, my mandate. But I think that MOU, we need to sit together and make sure that you work on it such that students benefit. I didn't see the advert, Honorable Kaula, of the post. Is it by DPE or by sports? In the provinces. Oh, we really applaud to that. We are going to support them with that, and we are going to ensure that they cover all the clusters and all the corners. At least something is starting. We're happy that something is beginning to happen. Community gyms, you'll find them somewhere in maybe in townships and towns, but in rural areas. The community gyms? I didn't see anyone in Ugu. Is there a community gym somewhere under Ugu district? I think we must have more of those in rural communities, DG. You'll come, please do. I've spoken about the alignment. Those are the issues that I wanted to raise for now, DG. And provinces, this is for members, as representatives of provinces. Last time, DG, we said with provinces, they don't even budget for sport. They don't even budget for sport. But these provinces have got representatives in the NSOP. That's the issue that needs to be taken up by the members of representing provinces in the NSOP to ensure that their governments in the provinces where they come from assign a budget for sport. I think that is going to be much more effective than national would impose. We need to assist as members of parliament in this regard to influence our governments at the level of provinces. Okay, let me allow you, DG, and Deputy Minister, to respond on on those issues that you can respond to. Thank you.
Honourable Chairperson, thank you so much, honourable members. If I may just ask in the beginning, just flag, honourable Chair, I will respond to some of the issues.
Yes.
I'll ask the DG to go into the details, but if the DG is still busy responding,
mm-hmm.
honourable Chairperson, honourable members, and I sneak out,
mm-hmm.
it's not because I'm in disagreement with my DG. It is because I've been placing other appointments where I have to be, and you know the referee starts on time,
mm-hmm.
so I don't want to be late there. Comrade Chair, let me just say thank you so much to all the positive comments and the felicitations that we've received as a department and as a leadership here from honourable members. It's much appreciated. Thank you so much. Chair, let me just respond to something that is being mooted by numerous honourable members here, and that's the question of funds, the MIG, and what goes with that, the lack of facilities. I just want to pause for a minute and just go back, right back to unification talks. Because unless we go back and revisit history, we will be doing injustice to the cause of sport and recreation. Wisely so, in those days, it was anticipated that in the context of the developmental state, taking into account the challenges that we are going to face as a government coming in 1994, taking into account the skewness of facilities and a lot of things, it was then identified that the government will never have enough funds to fund from the fiscus 100% the needs of sport and recreation. Hence, at the time, our founding fathers and negotiators anticipated the lottery to raise the necessary funds for us as a sporting industry. Now, I do not want to debate the division of revenue in the lotto, because along the way, correctly so, because the needs are there, social development got the lion's share. And we do not disagree with that. But then, well, the remaining 50%, sport and recreation ended up with 10%, and arts and culture with the lion's share. We have now argued that we need more money from the lotto, and that percentage has slightly increased, and the DG is continuously arguing that case with us, making the case for sport at the lotto. So I just flag that issue to say that we are painfully aware of that situation. Secondly, Honourable Chairperson and members, we also have to talk about the urban settlement grant, because if we talk about creating sustainable human settlements, a sustainable human settlement cannot be a place where you don't have recreational and sporting facilities, because that's integrally part of our society. In fact, it speaks to the notion of not only active in a winning nation, but it speaks to rooting up crime and, you know, these gangsters. If you get people proactively involved in sport, you steer them away from the devices. If children are tired because they've played the recreated, they go to bed, you speak to the evils and the devices that they engage into. So we're also engaging our sister departments there in terms of the urban settlement grant. Honourable Chairperson, the P component of the municipal infrastructure grant is something that we are very passionate about. And we understand and we understood the argument of local government and municipalities with the challenges they are facing. However, we had a major breakthrough, when it was agreed to at least take 300 million of the 1 billion that's available to ring-fence that for sport exclusively, so that we can spend that against the national facilities audit that we've done. And we've made a decision to say we will build in every province of that money. We'll build facilities and roll out facilities, so that we have a fair and equitable share across board of all the provinces. And we have now succeeded for a second year in a row to do that. We are unapologetic about the fact that we would like to see that fund transferred to the Department of Sport and Recreation, so that we can, through building for sport and recreation program, align that money and go and address the needs of society. Mm-hmm. Saying that, we're also speaking to communities to say, please assist us in taking ownership of facilities. We travel to many places in provinces, and we see facilities that are not being looked after very carefully. And we say the provinces must assist us, but communities must also take ownership of those facilities. Chairperson, we talk about education and the argument between my DG and other DGs and so on. Let me just make one point. Sport is integrally part of education. And I've been arguing since 2004 that you cannot build a school unless you define the infrastructure of the school. If you design a school and you say it must have a blackboard, it must have a facility for boys and girls, toilet facilities, then it must have a sporting facility. Now, Chair, I want to kind of leave a suggestion here with the committee. Being in the NCOP, I declare in my parliamentary constituency area, Bronkhorstspruit, Cullinan, this week we opened on Monday a new school built by the Department of Education in Gauteng. It's a center of excellence in a place called Zitubeni. In the middle of Zitubeni, a center of excellence was built. But with that, we have a rugby field, we have a soccer field, we have a multi-purpose sporting facility. With the help here of the DG, we are now bragging about that because we're inviting you to come and have a look. We've designed the school in such a way, I say it's a center of excellence. You have high mast, sun-driven lightning, so we don't draw from the grid. And the yard is developed in such a way that the school is fenced off after hours, and we get the communities to recreate and participate and play on those various sporting fields that we have there, recreate there. I want to jump to Atlantis. Last week we were in Atlantis. We opened a multi-purpose sporting facility in Atlantis. Minister Tulak Nesi, myself, DG, and the province. Now, that is part of the program, but it also relates to the department in partnership with the Sports Trust. We give the money, the Sports Trust are the delivery agents for multi-purpose facilities. We have opened and rolling out those facilities. DG, perhaps you must give in response the number to the honorable members here. But what was absolutely encouraging was to hear the principal of the school say, Minister, you know what? This facility is not only for the children of the school. Because we had the gangsters coming here, and the drug lords, they said, allow us, after hours, to participate and play here, and we will look after the facility. So even the police are involved now, where we knock out drugs, where we get people proactively involved, and then they take ownership of the facility. I'm mentioning to these two pillars, one in the Western Cape, one in Gauteng, to say, perhaps it would be good an oversight visit, Comrade Chair, to just go and have a look and get a sense of what it is that we are doing there. Honourable members, I think when we talk about the conditional grant and the amounts being paid over to the provinces, I think it's important. Let me just say what it is that we ask the provinces. When we pay money to a province on the conditional grant, 38% of that is ring-fenced for school sport. Now we are looking at provinces and asking them, what are you, from your provincial budget, contributing to the 38% that we as national are giving? We had a MINMEC meeting 2 weeks ago in Regina. We asked this question. And we understand provinces are facing challenges. But it's sad that in some instances there's not really much coming forward in terms of that. We say community sport and active recreation. 35% of our budget is ring-fenced for precisely that, to enact that. Then sport academies, 11% of that. Transversal matters, the DG said 7%, and management, we contribute 9% to that. Hopefully that 9% will be speaking to the very advertisements that my brother saw there, to make sure that we have people, a warm body, there organizing sport, ensuring that we roll it out, ensuring that we have the people there on the ground. I just want to end off by saying, Honorable Chairperson, we in the MINMEX are always steering and trying to convince our provinces to align their programs with our programs. As I speak here, I have the sense that they're doing that. That they're absolutely cooperating with us. All nine provinces. I can really attest to that. It's good to work with them. I want to go further to say that I also have the sense that with the limited resources and the challenges we have, and we have, we're not running away from that, we are achieving in terms of social cohesion and nation building. We see the results of some of those programs. And I want to end off by one thing, the saying, we also leverage on partnerships. Now, the DG cannot succumb here when you speak about the APPs and the budget and say, but you know what, we have the partnerships with Run and Walk for Life. We have a partnership with, you know, Sanlam, Ilana Meyer and Francois Pienaar with us, Cape Town Peace Marathon. We have this, but he can't do that. Perhaps we should find another innovative way, DG, to somehow come back and to inform honorable members outside of our APP, outside of our budget, what is it that we are leveraging from private sector, from corporates and from individuals in getting people active. Honorable Hartung correctly mentioned the department. Yes, that's correct. But that's one thing that we are in, we are talking to them, Walk and Move for Health, all those people, but they're not, we can't budget for them and we can't put them in our APP. And that is perhaps something that we must really address. So thank you for drawing attention to that. We will work on a way, innovative way, to report on that as well, our partnerships that we have. Honorable Chairperson, honorable members, I just hope, and not my thumbs, so lastly, that we will get the 2023 Rugby World Cup. I think our country deserves that. From my view, it will be something that not only speaks to sports tourism, which is very, very important to our country, but it will once again benchmark us as a country and the people of excellence. We have all the infrastructure. We may recall, members, that we said in the 2010 FIFA World Cup that we want to create a legacy with infrastructure, our IT infrastructure, our airports, our baggage handling facilities. We've done all that. We have the infrastructure. It's now for us to embrace it, to use it, and to really promote this country and to beam what we can beam to the world from all the wonderful stadia we have here. Honorable Chairperson, thank you. And if I sneak out, please, it's for another meeting. Members, thank you so much for the for time.
DG, one thing that is critical that I pocket is the issue of transformation targets for rugby, cricket, netball, and other codes. Thank you.
Chair, thank you, and thanks to the DM. I will go through the remaining issues quite quickly. We will, Chair, bring a revised presentation of the APP and disaggregate it by province to show what programs goes where and how much we do that. I think we will take that format in the interest of the committee. Secondly, Chair, the Honorable Hartin, the issue of school sport is being attended to, and the challenges that you have highlighted are being attended to. We are currently reviewing the memorandum of agreement with DBE, and we have set up joint committees to look at what is working and what is not working. As a precursor to that, we ran a workshop on school sport last week with all sport-related stakeholders. We are going to have a bilateral with basic education, and we are working towards a joint headcom, a meeting of DG with HODs. There will be two DGs of sport and basic education and the HODs in provinces together, and also work towards a final min-mag, at which we will then work towards a new revised MOA, and to also look at the funding arrangement. So we are attempting to address that. But we're also cognizant to the fact that there was no capacity. And I think this Honorable Kawula at one of our meetings came and engaged me and said, we have to do something. Although lower levels of the tiers have to be done by basic education, but we agreed that in order for the championship to be much more robust at district level and so on, we may have to reprioritize some money. We don't have much money, but What we have done is that we increased the allocation from 6% to 9% for management to give a little additional money. It's too little, but it will be able to hire district coordinators. And I think that is what is imperative about what we are doing. This district coordinators, our directive is that to provinces that they must be placed within the district's offices of basic education. And there they must work and coordinate with this, because Arts and Culture did it, but at school level. We do not have money to do it at that level. Our budget just doesn't allow, but I think we can put them as coordinators of district. The reliance they'll have to place is on key teachers as champions. And those teacher champions are being trained by SCONA, by Sports Coaches Outreach Program. And it's intended to train them as champions and as coaches who would do things like fixtures for local schools and things like under the guidance and leadership of that. So we're working on that. And I think the DM is correct about the issue of the targets we set. I think with this, we are talking local leagues that we support right across, so that it is not a once-off thing. But the money that is available, in all fairness, can only cater for about 1 million participants right across the board if they are to play right through. So it's support to local clubs and to the local leagues and to make it happen. It also pays for transport and every other. The money won't be enough to cover more than what is available. If we were just doing a once-off thing, then I agree with you, then we can target much more people. But if we wanted to be on a continuous round-robin basis and with participation right through the entire season, then those are the figures we are working around. In as far as the issue of social cohesion, to be fair to Honorable Kaula, no, we don't believe we are getting value for money. I think there is so much sport can do in as far as bringing social cohesion. But social cohesion, there's a whole host of variables in there, some of them economic, whether people believe that the system works for them or not. And also the tone from the top. If all the time, sometimes it seems like at first opportunity the race card is being played, it reverses all the gains that we may have done. But I think the two key measurements we measure ourselves on is performance of our national teams and also whether South Africans, particularly those that are appalled when going to major tournaments or as spectators, when they are appalled, we track them with GCIS, and there is a simple two question thing. Are you proud of being a South African? Yes. Do you think that our national teams are representing you? Those are the two questions that are asked to spectators as they enter the stadium, and they do. Last year we did this poll in reverse. We did it after the match. And you know, because blacks happen to be in the majority, they happen to constitute the bulk of the sample. So when Bafana Bafana loses, you see that the percentage goes way down. But when the Springboks are winning, it balances out a little bit. The problem was last year. We had a terrible year even in rugby. And even with Bafana's performance, it didn't do us any good. So you could imagine that the percentage seemed quite low. But that is what we track as our contribution to the bigger picture of social cohesion. But there are many other variables. When people are unemployed, they don't really think that there is something in for them. If people think that they have no houses, no what, then the whole notion of social cohesion falls through. In as far as the issue of invitations, I think we will now send, shall we have a full calendar of all events right through the year. We will send it together with the invitations for each and everyone. I think this has been an oversight on our part. We have been largely inviting the members of the portfolio committee in the National Assembly, but we have not done well in as far as this committee is concerned, but it's something we will correct right away. In as far as club development, Honorable Kaula, honestly, the issue I'm talking about is a pilot program. We are continuously supporting the clubs as we have always supported them previously. But we are running a longitudinal pilot. And here's our concern. We have already spent about 3.8 billion rands in support to clubs over the past years, in the last 10 years. We've got nothing to show for it. These clubs are nowhere. We can't point where they are. Many of them still remain as startups, and every year they write to us to ask for more money or this, that, and so on. And they are not progressing anywhere. They aren't playing any formal leagues. They are not doing anything. And so we looked at the Australian model and the UK model. The only difference there is that parents are paying for the children, but that's why their club system is robust. But in our country, parents won't be able to pay to sustain participation. And so the state has to play the role of the franchisor. That's what it has to do. So where parents can't pay, we have to subsidize the NGOs and everybody to be able to run those leagues and to get poor children to participate. So we're piloting this new model in the two nodes, in Mobani, in Limpopo, and in Atequini. So we will only get the clear lessons later to know whether it works and whether we should collapse what we're doing and shift to this new system or should. And if it doesn't work, we must be honest that it doesn't work. Honorable Samka, the budget is quite small, we agree with you. And I think the DM hammered this very well. It will be interesting. This committee has the power to summon the treasury and to ask, and also to summon the provincial treasuries to ask them why, when it is a constitutional imperative for them to budget for sport as a concurrent function, they aren't doing that work. Honorable Ngwenya, do we have a plan to contribute to economic prosperity? Yes. In 2013, both DTI and Treasury requested all departments to show their contribution to the economic framework, and we responded and we showed what we are doing. Already, I can tell this committee that more than 80% of all our procurement does not go to big business. It goes to medium-sized enterprises and small enterprises, SMEs. And to that extent, you would also be fully aware that what we have also done was to prioritize youth in as far as youth businesses are concerned, because largely our clientele is also youth. So we are already at that level, and I think we are among the highest departments that spend almost 80% of their budget on SMEs than many other departments. And secondly, the new minister has committed himself that he will engage with teacher unions as well as parents associations. This work around parents, to be honest, we have not done any work on it previously. We have seen that at national championships, white parents do come. They accompany their children, and they are always there in the stands. But the black parents are not there. And although this is a good thing, sometimes in reverse is also bad, because we have also seen where some white parents refuse the kids to get onto the bus, and they drive with the kid, and they put the kid, and they drive behind the bus to take them to the tournament. That kills the team morale and the team spirit. A team is a team. It has to travel together, do everything together, and so on. So there's two sides to that coin to look at. The other issue that was raised was on the issue of the Rugby World Cup. I won't speak on it. DM has spoken about it. And there was the issue of whether we have a program for pensioners. Yes, we do. That program there, called the Golden Games, works on that, and it's an annual program. We also provide to organized old age homes provision of sporting equipment, particularly indoor sports and board games and all of that. And we also provide special funding often to specialized teams. You remember? Old age homes. You remember Vakegula Vakegula? They were invited to participate in the Peace Cup in the United States of America, to play against teams from all over the world of old people. And they are football grannies from Venda in Limpopo. We funded their entire venture to go there. And they won the Peace Cup, and they came back with it. So importantly, we do support. And we have last year introduced also frail games for older persons who are no longer that fit and active. We have design new games like the Egg Run. It's purely a South African game invented here. You run with an egg on a spoon, and they obviously run very slow because they are quite frail, but yes, we agree, it adds to longevity and improves vitality among them. And so we handle this program clearly with the Department of Health as well as Social Development. One of the decisions we also took last year was that we will no longer require to make this a national tournament. It will end at provinces. And the reason for this is that some older persons, I mean, it's a bad idea to ask an 86-year-old person to travel by bus from Cape Town to go to Nelspruit to go compete. It's a bad idea. So we have agreed that the furthest they would travel is to their provincial capitals and to compete there. And I think that's how far we go. In as far as recruitment of sport coordinators, how are they selected? First, adverts. Many of them are graduates. We advertise, provinces advertise, and they are recruited. They are normal employees, and the normal recruitment of public service will take course. But we also are working on a program with EPWP Social Cluster, 100 graduates in sports science and sports management. And these are intern type of people, but we are sending them to rural areas where there has never been sport before. And they are supposed to help the rural schools start programs and to start playing. And we are also providing training to teachers in that regard. Honorable Mamburu, if you look, we agree with you fully on the prioritization of this. We have been discussing with health. We are now discussing with them that they transfer 0.3% of their budget to us to do active lifestyles. Now, you would agree with me, 0.3% of the Department of Health amounts to about 98 million. That's 10% of our annual budget. Our plot is that we must convince them to a point where they spend at least 3% of their budget on us to be able to do that. In fact, the norm across the world is that countries that are doing extremely well health-wise are spending 15% of their budget on health promotion. We aren't doing that. When most of you, I'm sure you went to school, there used to be nurses who used to come to school, teach you about oral hygiene, to show you what exercises you need to do in the morning before you go, how you stretch and all of that. Those things are no longer being done. We are now focused on treatment. And if you read the 2014 Lancet report, it spoke about the burden of disease South Africa is facing. At the top pinnacle of that is the HIV, AIDS, and TB pandemic that is killing most people in as far as morbidity and death, followed quickly by trauma, accidents, people who die on the roads and who fall from workplaces and all of that. But what is interesting is number three in that list is lifestyle diseases. It's hypertension, obesity, which speaks to lack of exercise. The cost of treatment is by far more expensive. To get people on dialysis machines and to get them to take those expensive medication, insulin, and all of that can easily be averted if we get people to exercise. And if we do not restructure and we keep on topping up the health budget and cutting the sport budget, it's totally counterproductive. But I don't think that the authorities in Treasury and in health see it the same way exactly as we do. Chair, on the issue of I've spoken about the invitations and you asked what training are we going to provide to employees. We are required by law, Chair, to train employees and to pay our 1% of payroll to the sitters. And in as far as performance management and development system forces us that when an employee says to the supervisor, I think I need retraining in project management as an example, and they sign a personal development plan, that becomes a binding agreement, because you can't later, when that employee is not performing, say, I'm firing you for poor performance. They will claim that, but I asked for help and you have not given it to me. So it's training across a wide variety of work areas, but they have to be related to the work that the employee is doing. And in there, we also include bursaries. The client satisfaction survey, largely we take athletes at the competitions we do across provinces, and we also take national federations, and we also look at the other clients that we service, and even the walk-ins, the people we call walk-ins, who come into the department and ask for this or that. We ask them to fill the 5 questions there, and we take that as a feedback of what people think of us and whether we are servicing them or properly or not. In as far as the issue of the participants in school sport, the system works from province and it builds up to national. So by the time the 5,000 come, it's children from all 9 provinces that have won the different tiers and have won the provincial championships to come to the national championship. So always the bigger provinces have bigger delegations because they've got more money to participate across all groups and across everything. So you always see the Gauteng delegation as the biggest delegation. They're followed quickly by KwaZulu-Natal, then Western Cape, then Eastern Cape, and so on. And then in as far as the issue of communication strategy to trump up the good work we are doing, we are trying to. I think we are one of the few departments that's a lean and lean machine on communication. We speak a lot about everything. It's just that, honestly, there are just too many things, and there is a clutter. And we agree our communication strategy is hinged on one topic a week. So if you think about it, there are only 52 weeks in a year. And of that, you cut out 4 weeks because it's holidays and it's December time and it's this, that. And so effectively, we're talking 48 issues a year. But on our menu, we have about 100 issues to talk about. So some things will always fall within the crack. But if you issue too many communication messages, there's going to be a clutter. People are going to be confused now what you're saying. They must hear you properly. So we have a weekly theme every week, depending on what program is coming and what we are communicating during that period.
Let's do it this way. You'll tell us the channel through which you communicate.
Okay.
Because of time constraints, I'm afraid we're not going to be able to do fairness to the Institute. The rest of the questions that you had not responded to, you could actually forward them to us in writing.
Yeah. It's just two things, Chair. The community gyms, which I said I'll bring a presentation.
Yes.
And then the last thing was the transformation targets, so I will...
Please include those.
Yes.
Yeah, include those in the communication. In conclusion, you promised that you are going to give us a presentation that has got the details of provinces in terms of your programs. We also picked up that you are recommending certain specific areas where we could go to as a committee to conduct oversight, to have an idea of what it is that the department is doing. Usually when we conduct oversight, we lump it together for all the departments for which you are responsible. Maybe to emphasize the importance of sport, at some stage you shall have to conduct oversight all on sport to give it the importance that you want to give. The other critical issue that arose, maybe it's important that we engage with the provinces, we invite them, the MECs, because even when we go for oversight, it has never happened that we meet an MEC for sports and recreation. I don't remember. Members can correct me on that one. We normally meet the DBE, the other, or health, the others we don't normally meet. Maybe it's something that we need to do to create that relationship and give them that kind of support. The documentation that members requested for is going to be coming forward in terms of your programs. I do want to say thank you very much, DG. Thank you. Okay. Okay, no, you are excused. We are going to be remaining with the Institute. They are old enough to stand on their 2 feet. And give us what we want. Thank you, DG. Over to you.
before we start with the Institute for Drug Free Sport, I'm a bit concerned that we do not have an apology for a representative of the board, which is the accounting authority of the institute. There's no representation from the accounting authority. Secondly, there's CEOs overseas. Now, there are crucial issues that we need to address, specifically in the APP. There are seven repeated findings reported by the AG in the annual report, and a warning that it will repeat. Now, we need to know what is going on. Also, taking cognizance of the fact that the institute is now running for 3 years after the resignation of the chairperson with an acting chairperson. We also need to know why is there an acting chairperson, and also coming from that, only having had in the 2016 year two board meetings, of which one was attended by five and the other one by eight of the supposed to be 10 members. It appears that, and it's also noted here by the AG, that the board, as the accounting authority, is not exercising its fiduciary role as required, the obligation in as contained in Section 50 of the Public Finance Management Act. So there are some serious issues here that we need to address. And I can't see that we can do that without the accounting authority being present here, or even the CEO being present here today.
That's a difficult one. It is true. What you are raising, Honorable Hatin, is quite true and very important. But now that we've allowed them to come, and we've allowed them to, more than coming, we've allowed them to stay for the whole duration that the department was here. That is why I felt earlier on that I should have started with them, then the department, but it was the other way around. Let us give them a hearing. But I'm taking note of what you are saying. There might be a need for the board members to come back and sit before the committee and explain those issues that you are raising. But to be fair to those members of the institute, the officials that are here, that have caused to stay from morning to now, let us give them a hearing. It would be grossly unfair to say they must leave. But I take note of the concerns that you are raising. We might just have to create time once again to call the board members and to call the CEO once he's back from overseas.
Chair, yes, I suppose that perhaps can be a way forward. Although, I cannot see that we can get actually any satisfactory responses to questions, because the people that should account and that should respond is simply not here. Secondly, looking at what we have here, we've got a strategic plan and an annual performance plan that was that I have received, but there's no ownership. Unlike the APP that we have from the department, it's signed off by the executive, the minister. But we've got, it's not dated. We don't know what's the origin for this. Was this actually done by the accounting authority? Is it an updated version of what happened? So the strategic plan, as well as the APP, has actually got no legal status because it's unsigned, undated.
Be that as it may, let us give them an opportunity to present what they have to present and raise our issues at a meeting wherein there will be the board members in front of us, the chairperson or the representative thereof, and the CEO when he comes back from overseas. I would plead to that case. Even the issue that you are raising of an APP that is not signed off on this red plan, they will have to explain why is it that they come before the committee with that kind of documentation not having been duly authorized. I want you to know that.
No, thanks, Chair. I'm not in opposition to what the Chair is saying, but I just wanted to straighten this one, because Honourable Hutting is raising quite serious issues. And I do agree we can allow them to proceed, but not on the basis that because we have already called them to be here. That's a wrong statement, Chair. Because when we ask them to be here, we ask them to be here in totality. So they can proceed, but not on the basis that because we call them to be here. When you call them to be here, the board was supposed to be with them. Thanks, Chair.
We're talking to the messenger here, because the board, the person that you should be addressing regarding all these issues, the irregularities that you are picking up, and the other issues, are the CEO and the board. They're not here. But I get the your statement in saying that not because they are here, but because they were supposed to be coming before the committee as a full component. Nonetheless, answer the concerns of the members as you begin with the presentation.
Thank you, Chair, for the opportunity to speak. As indicated previously, our CEO is not in the country at present. And according to my understanding and the communication that I saw between him and the secretary to the committee, he had indicated that he won't be able to attend. And he would be sending us in his stead. He won't be at the office until the 19th of June. And in that period, I will be the acting CEO, basically. So that's the guidance that we came under here.
So may I ask, is there any indication of the board members, specifically the acting CEO, or acting chairperson? Why, or is there any reason for their absence here?
Okay, over to you.
I'm not aware of the reasons of why he is not at the meeting. And I was also not aware that he had been invited to the meeting as well. My understanding was that it was the CEO that was invited.
Okay. Couple that with the issue that is being raised of the ownership of the APP and the straight plan, if it is not signed off in Parliament, we regard it as a document that is not legal. How does it happen that you come before the committee with documents that have not really concluded legally?
I do apologize earnestly for the documents not being signed, but the documents were presented to the board in a board meeting that was held in April of this year. And it was my understanding that those documents have been approved. We apologize for them not being signed.
Because once the document is approved by the board, it must have, there must be something signed that is approved by the chairperson of the board. Then you maybe they have they doesn't have the person called quality assurance who looks at the document before Bazoi present a committee into he signed when I approve, then you table it. The document was tabled before the board, ne? April, but the document is not signed. That means Bonabei drug free spot London by your star. E documents Zabo Abazi June before if you table a report to a committee, he assigned, for example, if we in minutes we are consider our minutes in a committee. We approved the minutes, then the chairperson signs. So it's official. So bona basebenza njenge ndazi basixoxana ngoba ke nase nemizuzu enkundleni komkhulu ezilalini iyasayinwa imizuzu by the chairperson pha enkundleni bona basebenza andazi basisitoni le nto sizoyenza pha sihlalo ayikho because uthetha nabantu abangabhilongi indawo kuba there's nothing signed by anybody. Sihlalo sithetha nje nabantu abalabalaba esithubeni abangekho ndaweni ithi loo nto simosha nje ixesha lethu into yoba bahlale apha sihlala ithi loo nto thina masizibophelele kubeni sithethe nabantu esingabaziyo ababangobani because ngomso bawusijikela bathi kwimithingi ayihleli ku-room number 314 uyayivale nto ndisho yosihlala. So masizijonge izinto ekugqibeleni ezawube ziphinde nathi zisijongayo into yoba bavumelana nosekretari wekomiti bengavumelani nathi sihlala but thina siqwalasela izinto ezininzi ekumele uba siyaziqwalasela before senze nantoni na esibophelelayo ngowasemthethweni enkosi.
Okay. Honorable Ngwenya. Na ufake lakhe ithi.
Angisafaki isihlalo. Ngicabanga ukuthi umamsamka seyibeke yonke. I think we need to postpone this meeting and things must be done in the right way. Indlela umamsa I was willing to sit and listen, you know, considering the fact that they were here and all of that, but after mamsamka eyibeke ngale ndlela ayibeke ngayo, I do not want to be party to anything that will come back and bite me. So I think we should postpone this meeting.
Okay. Honorable Mapor. No. It's not that it had more impact than it did, Honorable. It assisted us to have that engagement, short as it was, to verify the status of the absence of critical stakeholders as well and to get the problems, because you can actually see now that there are problems from the responses that are giving us. Honorable Mampur.
Thank you, Chairperson. But business unusual doesn't mean what you're doing to us. Business unusual doesn't mean what you're doing to us. I didn't want to talk first today. I wanted to allow members, I'm the whip of the committee, I wanted the members to talk first, to echo whatever challenge they're faced with. So, Chairperson, I don't understand. Our people are too casual. You are too casual, guys, because you are doing this on the expense of our time. You are not the best people to be chased away. You are not. And the next time, you won't be able to talk to anybody. May I'm assuring you, you won't be able to talk to anybody. And I don't have that extra time to come and sit with you. I don't have that time. I am loaded upon my shoulders. Besides being a member of parliament, I'm a politician. I need to execute some of my responsibilities outside. I don't have that time. Mina can be here on Fridays, whereas I don't have anything to do. The program is very adopted. I don't have anything to do. You want me to come and sit here on Friday because of you being careless. It can't be, Chairperson. It can't be. That's why I said in that other meeting, I said, because they don't care about the auditor general, they don't give a damn. Mina don't have that time. They must take us to wherever they are. They must take us to wherever they are. They must attach, they must account. Why? Two meetings for one thing. Thank you.
Okay. Let us conclude the issue like this. What I was really trying to cause you to do your presentation. But what complicated, and the members had begun to agree to understand, okay? But what complicates the issue is the fact that you are presenting documentation that is not official. We could have proceeded to listen GOK's understanding that the CEO is away and the board, apparently there is no communication between yourselves and the board, because you should have been given an apology, or they should have appointed a representative to say this is the representative of the board from one of the members of the board, even if the chairperson is not there. It is very important for you as an entity to have a good working relationship with your board. You can't have the other being more important than the other. It goes together. Together, I mean. But now, if you give us documentation that is unofficial, then there could be a case against the select committee to go through a documentation that is unofficial. That puts us off completely. We could have proceeded, because as I said, I still stand my ground. It would have been unfair for us to cause you to stay from morning to one and only to be told at the end of the day that you go back. If we wanted you to go back, we should have said it in the morning, because you also have many other things to do as much as we do. But because the documentation is not in order, Bantabam, there is nothing that I can do, or there is nothing that we can do as a committee. Take care of these issues, they are critical. You are growing. Acting CEO, you are still very young. You still have a long way to go. Be careful. Be careful. When you come before the committee, it's a serious matter. This is Parliament. Put all your ducks in a row and make sure that you don't incur fruitless expenditure as you are going to incur now. I don't know how we are going to account for this trip. We are sorry to do this, not because we hate you, but it is procedural issues. Do you understand? We are going to make time because we don't hate you. We want to hear. Because you are doing a lot of good work. You are a very important institute. We are going to create time to invite you, but please ensure that you come with the CEO and you come with the chairperson or the representative of the board by way of being a member of the board. Then that would be a full complement of the representation. So with those few words, I'm sorry, but we have to send you back home and come back much more well-organized and a full complement and sign of the documentation with the board. Thank you. Do you want to say anything?
Yes, I would like to say something. I would like to thank the committee for allowing us to be here. We apologize profusely for wasting people's time. And thank you. Thank you, sir.
The report of the committee regarding the sports and recreation is that the Select Committee on Education and Recreation, having considered the budget vote number 40 and annual performance plan 2017-18 of the Department of Sports and Recreation South Africa, reports that the committee has concluded its deliberations thereon. That is the report of the committee. Thank you, Honourable Members. Minutes. Oh. We didn't move on second yesterday, did we? There was full agreement. Do we really have to have a move on the second? Oh. But why did you do yesterday? Yes. Other than for second, huh? Oh, thank you, Honourable Sir. Thank you. Why did my son keep quiet about it yesterday? No, it is the report of the engagement with the department, yes. Then the minutes, Honourable Members, of the 24th of May. It was an engagement with the... the last week's one. Oh, arts and culture, there are no minutes because they were sent back. as they said. Honorable
but understand what's the difference between absentee and absent. Because Basal to Musho do absent, but apology, Ongwenya or absent, honorable Ongwe. What's the difference between the two?
We did not receive an apology from Ngwenya, from my side. I did not receive a formal apology. That is why it was not recorded as such.
Oh, well, she was lost. Yeah.
Missing in action.
Honorable Ngwenya, I'm giving you a chance.
Oh, yeah, well, ma'am. Secretary, your committee, I have reported to you that I will be away until end of July. Now I'm surprised when it says that I did not report my whereabouts were not known. No, I said, no, I didn't say end of March, I said end of July. Did I say March? Oh, okay. No, I changed the March to July. But as far as I know, I had reported
wrong. Honorable Mapur.
No, Klalo. Thank you very much. I wanted to say yes, indeed, we have to adopt it, though we didn't go wherever.
Through a process.
But whatever has happened on that day, whatever has transpired, we need to adopt that because it's on record. Thank you so much. I'm moving in that regard.
Moving. Honorable Mapur is moving. Second. You were not there. Any second, Samta. Thank you. Thank you very much. Those are the minutes. Then the meeting is adjourned. Thank you. Have a